that call today. I want to quickly go to Luke chapter 9 to see a wonderful response to this message. Follow me. As Jesus was walking in the way, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, he's heard the call. He's seen the Christ of glory. He's been attracted to a person that is far beyond anything he could understand. Just like Abraham so long ago, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. Because, dear friend, today, if you don't come face to face with the God of glory, you will never have that desire to follow him. And it's only once you appreciate that Christ is absolutely unique, sufficient, greater than anything this world can ever offer, you will also give a response of total commitment to him, just like this person we're about to find. He says this 8 beautiful words, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. In a sense, that was the commitment that those two fishermen made in Matthew chapter 4. Lord, we will follow you. But you see, it was a personal commitment. Each one of them individually had to come to this point in life. Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I am willing to devote everything, to give up everything for you. Can I just suggest, firstly, understanding the greatness, the authority of this one who's calling. They totally devote themselves to him. They say, Lord. Now that's a tough term today. Because I often speak of my rights, my ability. Because I'm just focusing upon me. But when you see Christ for who he is, suddenly you are nothing and all you want is him and him alone. And you bow in total submission to him. This gentleman says, Lord, you are far greater above anything I could ever deserve. You are God in human form, and I devote my life totally to you. I am yours in absolute commitment. Because when you come to Christ today, there needs to be a commitment of total loving surrender to him. It's not a commitment to slavery. So many people claim, we feel sorry for you, you're bound by this Bible. Dear friends, when you come to face with Christ, it's a commitment of love and freedom. When you devote your life to him and acknowledge with love and wonder, he is Lord and he is my Lord. There is no salvation. There is no transformation for you and me without that total submission to him. Romans is so clear. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, wanting to accept his kingship, his authority, his rule in your life, that isn't slavery. It's absolute freedom and beauty and glorious. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter, in Matthew's gospel, we don't have time. Here he is sinking in the water in a desperate situation. And 3 words sum it up. Lord, save me. He not only knew that Christ as Lord had the ability to rescue him out of the water. He had the very heart of love to rescue him. And you see, dear friend, whoever we may be today, Christ doesn't only have the authority and ability. He has the heart to rescue and to redeem. Some of us have the heart. We lack the ability. Some may have the ability, but we lack the heart. But Christ joins together his absolute ability and his longing desire, the very love of his heart, to rescue all who will simply say, Lord, save me. And forever, that bond was formed of eternal salvation. This gentleman here says, I have a commitment that is absolute, loving submission to Jesus Christ, Lord. He then says, I. Because you see, this commitment has to be personal and individual. No one can make it for you. This has to come as you face not only the evidence and the reality, but the wonder of Jesus Christ. It's a response that is automatic out of your heart when you see him as the creator who became the cross bearer for you. You will simply say with love from your heart, Lord, I'm going to respond to the call. I'm not going to wait a second longer. You are everything to me. But you see, it's a commitment that is definite, that's discerning. He says, I will. This is a call that must be obeyed. There is no turning back. He says, I will. I'm going to devote my heart and life to you. Are we willing to make that commitment to him today? That must be first and paramount in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I will follow. We've mentioned already, that's all that Christ wants. We have nothing to offer him. He is the shepherd. We are simply the sheep. He is the creator of all. We're the unworthy, insignificant, created ones. And he says, I will follow. Each day in our lives, this is all that he wants. He says, my sheep, listen to my voice, John 10:27. I know them, and they follow me. May God help us today and tomorrow and the next day in his will to listen, to hear his call, to hear his voice, and then simply to follow him. Because so often we complicate our Christianity when fundamentally it's our commitment to him day by day to hear his voice and to follow him. He says, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me shall never walk in darkness. This gentleman says, Lord, I will follow you. Praise God, this is a commitment that is definite, that is decisive, that is transforming in his life, but it is humble, free, and glorious. He says, from now on, I'm simply a follower. That's a disciple of Jesus Christ. You hand over everything to him, and you gain everything from him. A follower of Jesus Christ. How would you describe your faith today? And please, the last thing I am here to do is to criticize or point fingers. Thankfully, I know almost nobody here today. Do we describe our faith in terms of our church, in terms of our religion, in terms of our creed? Or do we describe ourselves simply as a follower of Jesus Christ, the one who's transformed our hearts and our lives? And he says, I, Lord, I will follow you. This is a commitment that's total solely to Jesus Christ. He says, my eyes are not going to stray or be distracted by others. I am totally fixed upon you. Just like the Apostle Paul many years later, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Yet I live. It's not me. It's Christ living in me. And he says, the sole purpose for my life, for me to live, is Christ. Lord, I will follow you. Oh, dear friends, today there are so many voices out there, so many calls and attractions. But the message of Christ far surpasses anything this world has ever offered. He is not only the creator, the sustainer, the Lord of lords, but he became the cross bearer for you and for me so that we can follow him. And might I just add today, he says, wherever you go, it's a commitment that is unconditional. Whatever you want for my life, Lord, that's what I want. Where is Christ about to go? If you go back in the context of this chapter, he's come from the Mount of Transfiguration. He has healed this demon-possessed boy. And then he speaks of his rejection and suffering at the cross. And just prior to these verses, here he is fixed on his way to the cross and to Jerusalem. So if you follow him today, you have to count the cost. It's just not just a passing commitment of your lips. It's a total commitment of your life wherever you go. And for this gentleman, as he follows Christ, he's going to experience the cross. Because for anyone to be a true disciple and follower of Christ, we have to begin at the cross, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to recognize we're dead to this world system, but we're now alive to Christ. Because he's not only going to the cross, he's going to destroy death and sin's curse and rise again triumphant. And now in the power of that resurrection life, he truly can say to you and me, follow me. What is our response to him today? Are we going to mimic this dear gentleman? Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. A commitment of total loving submission to him. A commitment that is absolutely personal in your life. A commitment that is definite and decisive. A commitment that is humble, offering yourself as a follower to him, but a commitment that is absolute and unconditional. Lord, here I am. I will follow you. I'd love to stay with that, but I trust God will bless that to each one of us today, because he has a path and he has a plan that is specific for you and for me. Your path will be different to mine. Hebrews 12 tells us he has designed this race of faith personally for you and for me. But even though that path may be different, the one we follow is identical. He is always the same and always faithful. And it's my privilege today just to share very quickly something of what that has involved for my wife Joy and myself. And I want to take you very quickly to Zambia. There are a lot of slides. We're going to go through them very quickly. I want to just give you a brief introduction to Zambia and then a number of different ministries the Lord has brought into our lives. So let's proceed. Thank you. For those who may not know, and I'm blessed to meet a couple of Africans today from Tanzania, so that is very special. Unfortunately, they speak a different language, not the language I speak. Otherwise, I would love to say, hand anyone, how are you? But that's not going to happen today. So Zambia is encompassed by eight different countries, a landlocked country. We live in northwestern province,
just to the top of the White Arrows, to about 13, 14 hours drive from the main city of Lusaka. A few typical sights, children abound. If you love children, you will love Africa. But also many elderly people in need. The vast population is the younger generation, but if you live to old age, there's no social security. There's no homes for the elderly, and we'll speak about that shortly. Funerals seem to be a part of African life, perhaps because we're part of the mission hospital there, but it's also a wonderful opportunity to present the gospel. Every death situation, we're seeing what Satan has done to this world. And yet, there is the resurrection and the life. Thank you. Things to look out for, speak to my children. If you want a little update on snakes, etc., they have all the stories. If you go down to the rivers, we love animals, but I find it very hard to find anything lovely about a crocodile. When you hear about them eating people, and they are quite sadly very capable of that. Army ants on the small side, again, we can share stories of when they come into your home, and sometimes the best thing is just to leave them in your home and go somewhere else to sleep. They'll just be there for one night, clear all your bugs, and off they go the next day. Chameleons, if children were here, amazing creations of God, but the African people where we are, totally suspicious. If you want to clear the area, go with the chameleon, and people will run from you. White ants, it's like these tiny little creatures, they are designers. Don't take anything for granted. God is amazing. Thank you. A typical rural village that we work in, and we'll tell you more of that. A great opportunity to share the word of God. Sorry, just some of the headings we put are just covered by the Zoom part. No problems. Thank you. Women carry many things on their heads. It's like, wow. But do they suffer for it at the end of their life? They certainly do. Most of the food is what we call Nshima. It comes from either maize or historically cassava, manioc, a root crop. And you grow that. It takes about 18 months. You soak it in the river. Then you dry it, pound it into meal. You can also have the leaves for your relish. Thank you. And then it's a wonderful finger food. I always embarrass my children because here they are 2-3 years old, but it's a wonderful finger food you have twice a day with beans or leaves or occasionally something else. Thank you. Beautiful sunsets in Africa, but wow, in the rainy season. End of October, November through to April, not every day, but you think that's raining hard. And then it gets harder and harder and harder. It's like, wow, experience. Thank you. But you can imagine it washes out so many things. Just a little something else, pontoon crossing on our way to Lusaka. Elephants have right of way in the bush, and you can imagine that. You come across all sorts of things. A chainsaw is a wonderful thing to carry in your vehicle. So in the middle of the night, you can cut down a tree that's fallen. Even worse, if you get a flat tire, thankfully we have children to help with that. But even worse again, I never imagined Africa, you could get stuck. Africa's hot. But in the rainy season, it transforms into something totally different. Traveling in the rainy season could be interesting, especially for our ambulance. The next slide. Just imagine you leave the hospital to drive 3 hours normally, and it's a whole day trip because you get stuck on the way. The water's like this, and you need a huge truck to pull you out. Thank you. So we get into many practical maintenance items at the workshop. Thankful very much for Ioana. I'll tell you about him shortly. He's been a great helper. We've been able to train in that area. Others for the mission hospital work in plumbing, building, etc. Thank you. A good time for our children is when suddenly parcels arrive. A couple of times a year, maybe medicines for the hospital or whatever, or individual supplies for ourselves. Been blessed with an airstrip that we put in 2007. And thank God it has saved a few lives at that critical time when nothing else would have worked. How do we survive? Vehicles run on diesel, generator, although we now have power from the government. So every now and again, we order a diesel tanker. And to put it into American English, we'll offload about 1,700 gallons of diesel that will keep us going for 3 or 4 months. Thank you. Children have wonderful fun doing all sorts of things, playhouses for the nursery school. Joy is greatly involved in hospitality, whether inside if it's colder or outside if it's warmer. This is where our children do their homeschooling as well. It's very flexible. Karen now reads to one of her grandmas in Zambia. She's been a missionary for 50 years. David has got into all sorts of projects, making charcoal. Daniel is proficient with the chainsaw. Sometimes, thank you, keep going. Sometimes they work together in metal construction, welding, things like that. And Kara is an animal lover just after my own heart. She has her dogs that were very hard to leave behind. Daniel's got into making a few little boats for his playing on the river. David is my kind of background, technical, taking things apart, electrical, electronics. We're blessed by God. Just last year, we had a visit to the Victoria Falls for our 21st wedding anniversary, and it was well. Okay, so what are we here for? Just a few of the ministry opportunities. We have children's work, and we mentioned that very quickly. We also have the Kayombo Boarding School. Number three, we have Camp and Conference Center. Number four, outreach and church teaching. Number five, radio ministry. Number six, medical work at the hospital. And then lastly, the village for the elderly. Please, I don't expect you to remember all of this or probably any much of this, but if you can just remember one or two things, take them to heart and pray for them. Thank you. Firstly, the children's work. We have a great Sunday school right there at La Loma, just started up again. It was shut down for COVID for a long time and split up into so many classes from kindergarten all the way to grade eight for both boys and girls. We have a wonderful opportunity with a preschool or kindergarten. Two classes of children, 30 in each class, come from Monday to Friday, and we have two good Zambian ladies who are involved in that work. Children's clubs outdoors, our children have got involved with some of the nurses who run these typically on a Monday somewhere, Tuesday at La Loma, and a Thursday elsewhere. Joy has had a great opportunity with the girls' Bible studies. Lots of school students, typically grade 9 to grade 12, coming on Tuesday afternoon for a Bible study, and COVID requires all the outside things as well. Kayombo Boarding School. What can I say about this one? A public school run by a board of assembly Christians. The government wants to partner with Christians. Isn't that amazing? Just like America. We're allowed to select the teachers who are paid by the government. They even pay for these people. Praise God for that. Boarding capacity, 350 students from grade 8 through to grade 12. Boys and girls, we have wonderful opportunities. Thank you. The challenge is it's 3 hours drive from our location, but some people think is remote. Wait till you get to this place where these are the normal sites along the road. But then you finally arrive totally in this bush rural area. And wow, there's this incredibly modern structure, complete with administration block, classrooms, boarding areas, kitchen, teachers' houses, 20 of them. It's like, thank you, Lord, this is amazing. And we've been able to partner with the government, and they have now mentioned that we are, or recognized, that's the English word, sorry, I need Joy to help me sometimes. They have now recognized the school as a school of excellence, just been running for 7 years. Quality education on a spiritual foundation. Part of that is due to these great gentlemen, the principal, vice principal, who've poured their hearts and lives into that school, both dear Christian men running the administration. Some of the staff, auxiliary staff, teachers and spouses, thank you. Every morning they come to the auditorium where devotions are held, the whole 350. You can imagine how they sing. Africans sing beautifully. And just to be part of that is wonderful, or to go and join them for a weekend and have a special Bible study with them. Just one of the science laboratories, just to say, wow, yeah, Africa, but they're getting ahead. Thank you. And we were blessed just as a family. Someone devoted a solar system to us, and we took it to Kayombo and had a great time, 3 or 4 days, just fitting this throughout the school to give them lights and power outlets for a couple of freezers in their kitchen. That has transformed everything. So please praise God for these lives, 350 pupils who are being fed the word of God, as well as their quality education at that school, and those lives who have been transformed. Just as a side point, Sunday morning, they will come to the assembly. Just imagine speaking to 350 pupils. It's like, wow, wow, wow. That's amazing. Thank you. So the Camp and Conference Center, sadly, currently this year and last year, mostly affected by COVID. So we just mentioned a quick couple of things we normally get to do. Different camp teaching sessions for grade 7 to grade 12 pupils. We bring in for about 6 different camps, about 150, 200 pupils during those times. Wonderful teaching opportunities. Again, the older children, they used to complain. We're beyond grade 12. We don't get back to Samafunda. So with God's help, we made what we called a college camp. Anyone who's finished grade 12 can still come once a year for good Bible teaching. Thank you. They have their sports activities. Volleyball is now becoming big in Zambia. There's all the practical times, getting firewood, thank you. And then also the center is used for Bible study weeks, for elders, for Sunday school teachers, for committed Bible study on sessions. Just a great opportunity to be involved in that. Let's come to village outreach. Many so-called false churches in Africa in general, resulting in a lack of understanding as to what the gospel truly is. But praise God, almost every Zambian person is willing to listen to the message of God's salvation. Thank you. Two Roads, Two Destinies charts. I'm not sure if you've seen them. You'll see one shortly. They have been a great tool in this work. So they don't only hear, but they see God's way of salvation. Some of the local believers we work with on a regular basis. Every Monday we go with them. Thank you. Just from village to village area, presenting the message of the gospel. You may have 2 or 3, you may have 20, just depending where you are. Thank you very much. And we normally use the presentation. This is in Lunda, the language I normally use there. And it's just wonderful. The years of here and now, the two roads, the broad road, the narrow road. The difference is the cross, the open door. But if you fail to enter the cross after death, the future. Thank you. Children just love literature. You can hand out as much as you want in Zambia. Very thankful every couple of times a year when I'm free from other things, we get away into more remote areas, just dedicated to that work. And a typical village area where we meet initially to strengthen the Christians through Bible study, prayer time, and then the rest of the morning, afternoon, evening, out in villages, much like this, where people just come to listen and to ask questions and to hear about Christ. Church teaching is also a needed item. A big need, 60 or so small assemblies within a drive of 2 hours. One of the challenges with the lack of ability to read is you become so easily deceived by anything you hear. And so sadly, many Christians desiring to do the right thing, they hear some other church teaching something false. And because they don't have that ability to study and read, they're so easily diverted. So a huge need. Sunday visitation, most Sundays, we're out visiting in the area, thank you, and different conference opportunities. Just where we fellowship, where we're based at Loloma, we praise God for 6 mature African elders who take the running of the assembly. So typically, I would travel with 5, 6 other believers on one road, visiting assembly to assembly, touching 3 per week, or study time locally at Loloma, or meeting way away in the trees where they don't have any center or building. You just meet under the trees. That's amazing, because the dry season, 6 months, it will not rain. So you're not pulling out your phone app. Is it going to rain today? You know, from the end of April through to October, there's no rain. And so all your conferences, outreach times are great during that time. We've used this so much also as a teaching aid to really ground believers in what the gospel is, so they can share. And we leave a copy, not as big as this one, normally with each assembly, so they can continue in that work. Recently, we've had a radio ministry. Africa is not so much what are you going to do, it's more what are you not going to do, because opportunities just come knocking all the time. About a year ago, the local Manyinga area established their own community radio station. And they came asking to present a gospel message on Thursday in Lunda, the language I speak. It's like, how can you say no? Thank you. Because you're reaching people through a radius of about 30 to 40 kilometers. And they do have their little radios and they will listen in through their phones or whatever. So a wonderful opportunity again. Many people often call in just to share appreciation for the message of salvation. And we've been going through a study in the book of Genesis, faith is the only foundation. Just quickly coming to the Mission Hospital, again, a trophy of God's grace, a proof of his faithfulness for 65 years. The middle of Africa, a hospital partnering with the government for many spiritual opportunities, serves a community of greater than 60,000 people. Thank you. And praise God again, most staff are employed by the government. These are our management team. I'd love to take time to say how God has worked. He's given us a hospital board to run, overview the facility. He's given us an incredible management team over the years, not just like that, but little by little. And now we praise God for three committed doctors. We have our administrator, the lady in yellow. We have the director. I'll talk about him shortly, and other people there. Thank you. Devotions. Can you imagine here walking into a hospital in America and say, please, can I have a devotion with all the staff? Just doesn't happen. Every Monday morning, Friday morning, all the staff come together and we have a 20-minute devotion with them. The gospel is presented on a public address system every morning throughout the hospital wards and the patients, and also in the evening as well. Great when supplies come. We can buy some medicines in country, but the question is, how much do you want to pay for it? Let's say we have this, we have the cheap Indian version, the expensive Indian version, or the European version. What one do you want? So mostly we try and source medicine from overseas that we know is of the right quality. It comes in two or three times a year. Just a quick insight of the hospital, 120 beds, a very busy outpatient department every day. This is one of our drivers for the ambulance. Thankfully, he didn't get stuck that day. An operating theater. I think you call it an OR. Is that right, Joy? We're blessed to the Lord funded that recently. So many people waiting to see a doctor. Thank you. How can you not say, wow? You go into the maternity ward, the lady was like, this is a miracle. But God doesn't only want us to be born physically, every one of these physically born children, he wants another miracle for them to be born spiritually. Just the Noah's Ark ward, I could take you through the hospital, but just very quickly. Again, great opportunities. Anytime you can go in to share the word of God, and you can imagine we get in some wonderful conversations with people just right in their time of need. Thank God there's a number of mission hospitals in Zambia, Chitokoluki, Dipolata, Chivuma, Mambalima, and also Kalani, although there's been some challenges with that one. So thank the Lord, several years ago, we got together to partner and form a board to oversee all of the mission facilities. Can I come to the village for the elderly? We've mentioned some of the young people, the older people. Started over 25 years ago, a refuge for those who are either accused of witchcraft, and yes, that's still there. As a visitor, you won't see it, but underlying in the culture, there's always that fear. Or sadly, those who either have no relatives to look after them or relatives who don't want to look after them. A very practical way to show the love of God. Thank you. Over the years, with God's help, we've established something very basic, just five different housing units, each person in each housing unit with their own little room. Many stories that would bring tear to your eyes, but praise God, they found a safe haven where they're looked after and cared for. And each month, with the help of God, their physical needs are met. We have one or two exceptions. This younger lad in his 40s, totally paralyzed. He's also found a safe home there. And they receive their meal, their soap, whatever, their money to take care of them. So many special contacts and friendships in Zambia. I could spend the whole morning on these, but I'll just touch very quickly on a few individuals. One of the things, opportunities I had, that Joy had when she first came, was to teach religious education to students in grade 10, 11, 12 in a public high school. Great opportunities. This is one of the young men I bumped into in 98. He finished his college, started teaching, has now recently done his degree and completed that. So happy. Five children. A believer in the Lord Jesus, now a good part in the assembly, especially in the children's work. Touching the hospital, here is Charles, our director, brought up in a remote village, but had a commitment to his schooling. A dear, fellow missionary lady, sponsored him through school, through college, started working at our hospital for 15 or so years, very committed, became the nursing officer. And a few years ago, we said, it's time as a board, we had our own Zambian director for the hospital. Got a good spiritual background, doing a great job, but I'm missing him, he's missing me, and just pray for him. Ioannou, a hard upbringing, simply John in English. And yet he's a great help. He came to know Christ. He's had a tough background, but we've given him the whole workshop to run, the old people's village to run, and he's committed. And just the icing on the cake, before we left, the last week, he was baptized and brought into fellowship. It's like, thank you, Lord. What a wonderful blessing. So pray for him. He's still young in his faith, and his wife. So many ladies, Mary, again, we think of her as a daughter. She's had a tough background and upbringing. Got to know her at school, just a very committed student. Sadly, she was married to the wrong person, a non-believer. He died in a fatal accident. He was a bit of a drinker. Left her with several children, so she's surviving as a widow. But just again, a wonderful story in her life. Cappy, in Lunda, that means the youngest of a twin. He's the youngest. He and his brother used to confuse me greatly when I started teaching them because they're identical. Now, going to one class and see this young lad, go to another class, see the same lad, say, hey guys, what's going on here? Yeah, I just taught you. And they just kept quiet. Until about a month later, I saw them both go, oh, goodness. Oh, sorry. Oh, wow, this is, you're twins. Yeah, we're twins. It's like, both of them have been brought to Christ from a Catholic background. This one at one of the boys' camps. And now, after many years, we've had to let him go from our area to go back to Kayombo to be a science teacher. And he's now one of the heads of departments, really committed to that school. Praise God for Cappy and all that he's doing. So where do I finish? A note of praise. Africa is special. You may leave Africa. Africa will never leave you. It's just a neat place where God is at work. The freedom is there, the opportunities. But most of all, praise God for a dedicated team of believers in so many ministries there. Also pray for God's ongoing work of building his church in that area. I mention those items because Joy and I are stepping back for some years, and I'll explain that shortly. Just one couple to really pray for, the Anderson family. They came from Washington State. They're now based at La Loma. That doesn't happen. But God has brought them, four young children, a baby, three sons, settling into a tough new life at La Loma. We'd love to have spent 2 or 3 years with them. For some reason, God didn't plan it that way. We just had a month to do some handover time with them, drop them in the deep end with language and village work. Pray for them as a couple. And lastly, just for ourselves, for God's clear confirmation for us. I'm British. What am I doing in Zambia? Now, what am I doing in America? God has something for us, that he will show us where to be based during a time of transition. Transition involves two things. The care of Joy's mother. She's been legally blind for 30 years due to cerebral malaria, and now she has dementia. We're based in Chicago just for a couple of weeks because two of Joy's younger siblings are there, and we're just talking through how can we help with the care of mom. Secondly, college apprenticeships options for our children. We don't know what to do, but as the scripture says, our eyes are upon you. Thank you so much for your time. Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. We're amazed again today at the call of God in our lives. We are nothing. You are everything. You have set your glory above the heavens. You live outside of time and space. And yet for people such as we, in amazing humility, you stooped into this world, into humanity, to call us individually and personally to follow you. How could we ever say no? Constantly, day by day, open our eyes to your greatness, your glory. And so our devotion to you should flow in absolute commitment. Thank you, Lord, for each one who is here today at Wawatosa. you know us individually and personally. Bless this company of your people. Continue to unify it, grow it, and develop it after yourself. And each person who's here today, help us to hear your voice and to follow you. Lastly, we pray for the government of this nation, how much it needs you. Oh Lord, bring these important people in power to the foot of the cross to realize who they are, how they are, and the reality of eternity. We bow before you with praise and worship, because the one we follow has not only called us to follow them, but one day will call us right into heaven itself to be with and like him forever. We bow in his precious and worthy name, the Lord Jesus. Amen.